Paul, what do you like about Mason Appleton giving him an opportunity in that role where he is tonight with Blake and Nick?
His game has improved intensity-wise, what he's accomplished with and without the puck. It gives us some coverage, depending on whether you get the matchup that you want at home with Lowry and Little out. It kind of balances the lines, and it puts Perreault, Kopp, and Roslovic, a line that was very, very good for us at the end of last season together, where they can do more than just hold water. So it's not just about Mason getting his opportunity, at what it does to those kind of middle six lines.
Patrick didn't say he sort of said he's disappointed with his season, but kind of. But, I mean, the goal scoring, I suppose, isn't there where he would like it to be, but he is also kind of a, as near as makes no difference, a point-per-game player at this point. Where has he developed this year?
Well, so this is his first year in the NHL playing against the other team's best, and that would have happened a little bit if we had no injuries and you've got your checking line at home. He wouldn't necessarily have played against the other team's best all the time. But based on what we're going through, Scheifele's line sees a lot of Bergeron, O'Reilly, Johansson, O'Reilly, or Shen. There's a big difference between playing against the other team's best. They're 1-2 set of D, and if you're playing with Mark, you're getting the 1-2. Or the shutdown pair if they're not offensively 1-2. So that's the major difference. He's also getting more minutes than he's ever played. He's getting a different looking kind of offense playing with Mark and Kyle. So there's a whole lot of new going on. His 5-on-5 game is far better than it was, as it should be, in each of his first seasons. But what we think is going to happen with him is he's going to continue to grow, and his goal scoring numbers will get back to where he was maybe early on when he's playing in the three hole, playing against the 5-6, and nobody in the league knows who he is. Now everybody knows who he is, and they're getting the other team's best. So he will develop into a player that can play there, that this franchise, this team becomes great in a lot of ways when that line goes out against the Bergeron line, and we're all excited about seeing who's better tonight.
Yeah, and I guess that's highlighted then. I mean, you've kind of said it, but he's done more this season, and maybe it's just not seen as much because of the point totals. Like, everybody, with him, it's always goals and that sort of thing.
That line's still figuring out how to generate offense, right? So they've got bunch of pucks that don't get to the net off some chances that as they develop that chemistry, you saw it in the first 2 or 3 weeks that they played together. There's a whole bunch of stuff that you thought was going to go that didn't. It was almost there, and then they started to score a little bit more. So they're figuring each other out. They're trying to learn about each other. And as they develop that so much chemistry, it's even more than that. They'll spend less time in their own end. You know, they'll make simpler reads. They'll get more time. And when a line like that eventually gets more time and they get that chemistry built, they'll score more.
Paul, when Neil was acquired, was this a pairing in Josh that you contemplated back then?
Right from the start. And then it was who would Dustin play with coming in. And Tucker Pullman would go into that hole possibly as the righty. And he would compete with Niku and the other players for that job, kind of that 5-6 job. And then Dustin's not here. And, of course, now Tucker's down. And we liked where Tucker and Morrissey were. And, you know, our little mini slide that we've kind of gone on here kind of coincided with Tucker coming out of that lineup, trying to spread it around. So we've kind of wanted to see it. So we're still learning, does it work? At the end of the day, you can still put two good defensemen together, and for whatever reason, it's not there, that they need to be split up. We have that option when Tucker's in the lineup. I'm not sure that we have that option right now.
So what do you see from their skill set that you think that those two...
I think they're almost similar players. And that's, I would have said that. That's what I would have said to management this summer when we were watching. He's a version of Josh. It's a little different in terms of how he approaches the one-on-one, some of the physicality along the walls. There's a difference there. But for the most part, they're similar. They're very quick to get the pucks first. They move it very well. His gap closure is really strong because of he is a strong, strong skater. And then there's some physicality to his game. But he's another – we've always looked at Mo just just do what you did last year defensively, and all these numbers are eventually going to come for you. It's kind of with Neil. He was in the shutdown pair with Staal right up to his injury in the All-Star game, so he has that ability to play against the other team's best. Question is, how much offense would he kick in on top of that? So we'll see.
Paul, 5 minutes of the game tonight for Mark Scheifele. What's the biggest thing you've learned about him during your tenure here, and what's the next step for him in his development?
Oh, boy. Well, we talk about him a lot, and his desire to improve his game. I think the biggest change year over year now is actually physical strength. Now, he's going to tell you he's learning where to put himself on the ice, how to position, how to take pass. He works on all that. But you've seen it this year from the tops of this. The hash marks down in the offensive zone. There's big men leaning on him, and boy, is he getting good at controlling that puck. Like he's in the 95th percentile of the National Hockey League for puck on stick control in the offensive zone, right? Almost 96th percentile. Like he has it on his stick, and he's able to control the puck. That would be. He's just physically stronger, and a lot of it's positioning and early positioning and learning the techniques of controlling pucks along the wall, but. He looks this year different than any other year on physical strength alone.
Paul, you've addressed this over the year, but the power play...
They don't give you a seat anymore?
No,
is that what happened?
The sitting's the new sickness. So it's yeah, so you the idea is, you've addressed the power play, but a strong power play has the ability to kind of cover some other blemishes
right.
in your game. You've gone through the defensive issues. You've got guys coming in and out of the door, but your forwards have generally been there. How would the high-end talent you guys have on this team, the power play hasn't seemed to click?
Okay, but so that's true if you take the raw number today and you look at it, say it's 15th, right? But go back to the end of November when it's sitting 25 or 26, but we go 10-3 in that month. So that's how much impact does it have? And then from about December 8th to probably just before the Columbus game, it's on one of your broadcast boards, it's the number one power play in the league. So it actually kind of coincides inversely to our wins. Our power play got real hot early in December, and it's run that straight through, except our wins haven't quite been there. I would trade a good PK for a good power play most days, especially with the way we're built. If we can kill penalties, we got a way, way better chance to win. And our penalty kill kind of got much better when everybody got healthy and we got some guys back into our lineup and then fell off and Kopp went down. And then, that number went right back into the tank. And then he came back into our lineup and our PK numbers got real good right through the stretch. So we've been flux on our special teams as much due to injuries as anything else. But our power play actually is really good right now. And whether it scores, you can see it during the game. It's back getting those opportunities. We had a split group power play for the first month and a half, which I like the effect that it had 5-on-5, but clearly our power play is, we've got too many good players to be sitting 27th or 25th where we were when we went to the adjustment and went back to the A, and it is producing.
You brought up it was interesting point, you brought up Byfuglien potentially playing with a guy like Tucker Poole, and besides obviously the major minutes, that Dustin would have taken and helped you out on the back end. How much of that, you used them with Morrissey before, or used them with other guys, of that development of the younger guys, almost kind of that comfort, are you missing with not having Kyle Dustin?
I don't know the answer to that, because Tucker Poolman has exceeded where we, absolutely exceeded where we would have suggested he would have been in his first year in the National Hockey League. He goes from where he was to playing with Josh Morrissey in our shutdown pair, and he's played darn well. And Neil Pionk clearly is playing the best hockey of his career. So I'm not sure on those two players that there's anything missing. Josh doesn't need anybody anymore. If he had a lag early in the year, Josh, it was probably in part of breaking in, getting comfortable with Tucker. So I don't know that there's been a negative impact in terms of the mentorship that comes. I mean, if you take an $8 million guy out of anybody's lineup, you're going to feel it, sure. But it's not like we had him for 2 months and he got injured. It's just we're used to him not being here now.
Paul, Patrick will always be moving forward, kind of smothered by whoever defensive players are on from the other side, and you suggest that he will go back to the 30, pushing 40, maybe 50 numbers. What does he have to do then? What does he have to learn? What does he have to change to be able to handle that? Is that shooting more? Is it like what are the attributes?
For the individual, I think we're talking about almost two separate ideas, his goals from last year to the goals from this year. Part of him, he's not shooting the puck at as high a rate as he used to, but he's now got different kinds of options to not shoot the puck. Like, giving a puck to Mark or giving a puck to Kyle, it's not a bad option. So there has to be more than just I shoot every puck. And then we're all still, I mean, Mark is, for me, is just coming into his prime. Kyle's got a few years before, I mean, he's playing great right now. Kyle's been fantastic this year, but he's also coming into his prime. What you see with those elite shooters that are scoring 50, getting to the point that you're asking me, the other players they're playing with are going to improve as well with him. So for a guy like that, mostly it's about 6 inches to a foot of ice, right? They get it off a little bit quicker. They get it a little closer to the net. They get a few more reps, and that's all it is, right? It's one or two more shots where you're shooting it from a slightly different place and you're feeling confident. I mean, he's cracked enough posts to have his number be quite a bit bigger. The first 2.5 months of the season, he probably passed up a whole bunch of pucks that he could shoot. And now he's starting to get into that where he's shooting the ones he should.